the bread of life. I don't know about you, but bread is very important to me. Like the 5,000 that Jesus had just previously fed, I like to eat. That's probably pretty obvious. I think for most of us, we get up and we go to our jobs, hopefully because we like them, but also because we have certain things that we need a way to afford, like our houses, cars, clothing, and yes, food. It's really hard to think about life without those kind of things, isn't it? I tell myself that things are different than they used to be. You can't travel from town to town and hope people will just take you in and give you a place to sleep like you could in Jesus' day. You can't wander around for months at a time wearing the same outfit and living on locusts and honey. We need things, don't we? I guess that's just the way I justify all the stuff that I have. And I admit that I wonder sometimes if Jesus looks at us today and shakes his head and said, "How did you get this way? Did you get any of what I was trying to say when I was there? All this stuff perishes. I don't." So I look at this, our second week of 6 weeks in John 6, where Jesus talks about bread. He makes two strong points in this passage that I feel are important to us. First, the people found Jesus and started talking to him, and they spoke of the manna that Moses had given the people when they were wandering in the wilderness. And Jesus said, "It's not from Moses. The manna is from my Father." Jesus did not say, "Your Father" or "Our Father." He said, "My Father." The first person possessive pronoun, "My Father." A true connection of Jesus with God. And a reminder that the living bread that feeds us and provides us and all of our needs is of God. Not Moses, not of the world, but from God. And Jesus was there as God's connection to us. I try to constantly remind myself that Jesus was God's message to the world, that Jesus was God's message to me of how we're to maneuver this life that we live on this earth. He was the perfect example of God's life-giving bread that sustains us. And it's now our responsibility to continue that message through the way that we live our lives. There used to be a saying that said, "You may be the only Bible some people will ever read." Once we've truly experienced the living bread sent to us by God, we must share it. It's just like Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's a bread that never runs out. And if we try to just keep it for ourselves, we haven't really received the true bread. I think about Jim Eskew when I think about this. I don't know how many of you have ever been a patient of Jim's. But if you're having surgery, Jim has prayer with you before you go into surgery. Because he truly believes that what he does is of God. And so every patient that he has knows why he does what he does. It is our job to keep that bread feeding people. And some people will never know of the true bread of God unless you tell them. Then Jesus points out that there's a difference between bread as we know it and true bread of life. The kind of bread that feeds our soul, that feeds our minds, that feeds our heart, the kind of bread that never perishes. The crowds don't understand. I don't know that really the disciples truly understood. Often, I don't understand. And because of that, Jesus made his first I am statement. I am the bread of life. As I read this passage and thought about what it really meant, and thought about so many people that you and I have known through the years, probably even myself at times, who literally go through the motions. They know the right things to say, and they smile their way through life, and they seemingly have it all made in the shade until some point in time it all crumbles, like building a house on sand. Or there are those, like in the 19th century in Asia, where people would come to church because they were hungry for material food, and they would be converted and baptized and remain active members because they would feed them and help them. But once their situation improved and they were on their feet again, they would drift off. And the Asian Christians called them rice Christians because they were only there for what they could get physically, materially. It really jumped out at me when I heard a podcast, and the speaker was talking about whether we are religious followers of Christ or do we have an intimate relationship with Christ. Isn't that what Jesus is talking about right here and now? You can find everything you need in the world. You can find shelter and food and clothing and stuff. You can even go to church every single Sunday and hear the words and quote the scriptures. But until you engage with Christ on an intimate, personal, close relationship, until you buy into that fact that God, through Jesus, provides all of our needs, our real needs, then you haven't found the true bread of life. The Pharisees were religious. They followed the law to a T. They did everything that they really were supposed to do. But their lives were not changed because they didn't have an intimate relationship with God. I see and hear people around this world who make so many claims in the name of God. They claim others are doing it wrong. They picket churches because they're doing it wrong. They tell people they're not welcome in their homes or their lives or their churches because they're doing it wrong. I can't speak for you. I can't speak for them. But the God that I know through Jesus Christ, the true bread of life that I've experienced, says that all are welcome to receive. That all are worthy of his bread. That no one is ever turned away. I never saw Jesus turn anyone away because of the way they lived. He never shunned people because of the way they looked. He loved, especially when people felt they were unlovable. Yes, Jesus at times got angry. But when? Jesus got angry when church leaders were trying to make it difficult to come to God. When you needed to buy your way into the temple. Or when leaders were trying to keep people away from him. When we recognize and receive the true bread of life, we immediately know that it's not something to be kept for ourselves. It must be shared. I'm afraid sometimes we really want people to come into our lives or even into the life of the church for the wrong reasons. Maybe we just want more people, or maybe we need more hands to help, or maybe we need more leadership or more money or whatever. The real reason we should be wanting people to flow through our doors is because they need soul food. The bread of life that sustains us through the hardest of times. The true bread that lives through us and spreads like wildfires. In our society, we've become good marketers of the gospel instead of being witnesses to the true bread of life. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. The true bread. Whoever believes shall never hunger or thirst.